everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, one of your senior consultants, Lauren Williams, and I am joined here today by some of our newest members of the Student Loan Planner team. I thought it was super important that you get to know them so that when you're doing your consultation, you know why they're so awesome and why we invited them to join SLP. Without further ado, we're going to get this party started because we got a lot of people to meet today. Logan, tell us all about you. Make sure you include your social security number and your address.
Good deal. My name's Logan. Grew up in South Jersey, now living in Philly. Did have a 4.5 year stint in Arizona as well. So got to live out there just for fun, see what it's like out there. Moved back here last October. Getting reacquainted with the city here in Philadelphia and enjoying it here. Much different than Arizona, but loving it too. Always been into numbers and had a dad who was into business. And so that all kind of led towards financial planning. And so it's always kind of been my focus in my career. I was a financial planning undergrad, forever a financial planner, which is kind of boring. I hear the cool stories of career changers and I've just always been a financial planner, but love it and learning more and more all the time. Very focused on tax as well. So I'm an enrolled agent along with the CFP. And so put a lot of focus into tax planning specifically. And run my own fee-only RIA for young physicians, which naturally has plenty of student loan complications, which is kind of how I find my way here to level up my game with student loans.
I love it. So physicians, definitely big group of student loan borrowers. Like you said, I think one of the things that always stands out to me is kind of the narrative around like, oh, physicians are so rich, they make so much money, they need to not get any forgiveness and all these sorts of things. But when you start to really nail down and understand like what's going on in the lives of the physicians that we get to help, you realize how, you know, daunting the student loan debt can be for them. And it's been really, really rewarding to be able to help them work through not just their student loan situation, but also their financial situations. Because, you know, while incomes are pretty nice, the debt load can be pretty heavy. We've seen up to like $700,000. I don't know if there's probably one with higher, but or, you know, you get two physician households and it's $1.2 million of student loan debt. Even with pretty good earnings, that can be pretty hefty task to have to carry if you don't have a clear plan.
For sure. It's definitely a concern going towards physicians because that is a pretty big narrative. But as you start to see them, talk to them, it's really fulfilling work because of how much stress they're under to just want to be doctors. And yet they have this giant thing hanging over them. So it's really fun to help them think through that and make it not so scary.
And what made you decide to go and get an EA? So for those that don't know, an EA is an enrolled agent, which qualifies you to be able to do taxes. So fun fact, CPAs and enrolled agents are the two people that would be able to represent you in court should you get audited, whereas someone who is just like a tax preparer or just does taxes is not going to be able to do that. And so I always recommend that you work with either an enrolled agent or a CPA when doing any kind of tax stuff. But what made you want to do that, Logan?
To be frank, starting the business, my income was going to zero and it was tax season. And I had reviewed many clients' tax returns and there was a job at TurboTax for me if I got my enrolled agent. And so that was some pretty easy short-term money to kind of survive a little bit as I start building clients for financial planning, which grew into, quite frankly, a love for doing, well, questionable, but an enjoyment for doing tax returns. And so continued doing them today.
I think that's pretty cool. Taxes is something that's either love, 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 or hey, hey, hate. I'm here for everybody who has a personality that's like, ooh, let me dig into the weeds of tax stuff. All right, Jarrett, last but not least, come on, tell us all about you. Logan didn't put his social security number in. I know you're going to not let us down so that we can steal your identity.
In the show notes.
Yeah, no, I'm thrilled to be here, Lauren, and been listening to the podcast, reading the blogs from SLP for a few years. So just thrilled to be on the podcast today and joining the team. A little bit about me. I grew up in Massachusetts, went to college for sociology and economics. That's actually an interesting confluence of ideas. Just learned a lot about social and economic inequality. And I graduated college and I was like, I got to do something about this. I need to go help people just with economic mobility, and cared a lot about mental health and some of the unequal access to resources. I had a handful of jobs in the nonprofit world right out of college. I was a case manager at a homeless shelter in Boston, and I worked at a nonprofit focused on first-generation college students. kind of helping with access, persistence into and through college. And a big piece of that was affordability of college. So working with largely low-income families on how are you going to get your kid, the first kid in your family, through college. Definitely come at a place of just an appreciation for education. And I loved that coaching mentoring relationship. And when that conversation steered towards personal finance, I got all excited and I was like, I want to do this all the time, where I coach people and I teach them about financial literacy, personal finance. So that's how I got myself in the financial planning industry. Had a position as a client service associate at a RIA out in Chicago. My now wife is a resident physician. She's a pediatric physician at Connecticut Children's in Hartford, Connecticut. So followed her from Massachusetts to Chicago for medical school. And now she's in residency here in Connecticut. Kind of alongside that track of following personal finance and financial planning, she's like, okay, I'm going to borrow this much money this semester. And I'm like, my brain's doing the math on the present value of that in like 6 years. And I'm like, oh God, what are we getting into? So that's where I found student loan planners, like online resources, and just started reading a whole lot about PSLF and all these resources, and have kind of developed that as just a specialty within financial planning, where I'm interested in really getting some good reps working with our co-residents. And so just super excited to be kind of focusing on student loans in the future of my financial planning career.
I am getting kind of a string. There's a thread that winds us all together. These are people who are helpers and are married to helpers. And I think that's really like the key piece of the puzzle of the culture we're trying to create as student loan planner. Nurses are known for being helpers. Physicians are known for being helpers. We at Student Loan Planner are trying to help borrowers figure out their student loan situation. And I'm really excited to have you all on the team because, like you said, everything that you said about your story was all about the idea of being able to help other people. So with that, tell us a little bit about why you chose Student Loan Planner and what exactly you're looking forward to, like, most as it relates to being able to help people with their student loans and figuring all this stuff out, because it's complicated.
As I mentioned, I've been following Student Loan Planner for a while, and I really appreciate the writing and the blogs and all of the resources that are shared out there. It's a great opportunity to just share the knowledge and be transparent. And Student Loan Planners really showed themselves to be at the top of the field when it comes to updates in the student loan industry that seem to happen like weekly or biweekly in the last year or so. As the laws change, Student Loan Planner is always one of the first ones to write it up and kind of share some planning opportunities, and, you know, just a huge bench of really highly talented and skilled people.
I 100% agree. There are other companies popping up here, there, and everywhere, but we are definitely one of the first, and we really do pride ourselves on, like you said, making sure we're staying up on what the latest and the greatest is. And there has been a lot of changes since COVID. So yeah, it's cool. We're glad to have somebody who's excited and like you said, has found the resources helpful up to this point, to the point where you would want to join the team.
For sure. Similar story for me. Just following the newsletter the whole time, listening to all the podcasts. I have a pretty short list of podcasts, and Student Loan Planner has always been on it. And to be honest, Travis sent out a newsletter saying looking for tax pros. And so I was kind of like, I'm not that interested in student loan planning right this second. Maybe I should talk about tax. And then talking to Travis is just so inspiring. And, you know, well, actually, we need a huge need for student loan planning. Are you interested? And I was like, let's talk about it. And of course, 2 days later, I was signing my agreement. And so here I am originally looking for tax, but the student loan planning has been really cool too in the meantime.
That is so funny, because I also know, you know, now playing a role as kind of like the trainer, bringer, honor of new consultants, close the gapper, making up my own job title there, that you came out swinging, Logan, like you were a natural. So to find out that you were actually looking for the tax work and have now ended up on the student loan planning side, like, you are literally a natural.
I get really excited about learning new things too. And so I went through the CSLP designation to manage student loans. And so that took me, I think, 11 days to get through that, because talking to Travis again, I was just so excited about the volume y'all bring and having access to so many people to help. And so I was super excited and getting after it to get on the team here. So that's kind of why I kind of jumped in full boat.
All right. So we know that you guys are highly qualified to do the work. We've got CFPs, all kinds of other letters. I'm just going to go with that. You've explained to us your passion, but I think sometimes people just want to know a little bit more about you. So what about hobbies and pets? Like, tell us a little bit about, I heard two relationship statuses. Logan, you left yours out. You know, you want to tell us a little bit, or you want to just skip over that and keep it moving?
I'm into it. All good. I get married in October here, so I'll have a wife soon, which is pretty cool. Excited for that. Takes a lot of planning, but we're basically there. Going to be a pretty low-key wedding, 45 people here in the city, and then walking to a dive bar afterwards with a DJ. It's going to be good vibes. So really looking forward to that.
What is your number one tip for people that are listening that are in the midst of wedding planning? Because this is the budget buster for so many.
Yeah, take your budget and maybe 2x it. I think we're at about a 1.7 multiplier. So yeah, even a very frugal person like me, very focused on finances, was pretty way off. And so definitely expect more than you expect there. Met my fiance in Arizona when I went out there. So she was at ASU. And so we lived in Tempe for about 4 years. She had a cat. I had a cat who I had moved across the country. So then we had two cats and of course got a joint cat. And so now we have three cats here with us. So if you ever need tips on how to move three cats and everything you own 2,400 miles in your Subaru Forester, I got you.
I thought you were going to say cat number one and cat number two got together and then you got a new cat out of that, but
like, see, all males, right? All males.
Get all boy cats. That's an easy solution to the problem there.
Oh yeah.
Do you got any pets?
I have a 6-year-old black lab named Wrigley. Got it when we moved to Chicago and started med school. Although, to clarify, I never did med school. My wife did med school, but we decided, you know, week one of M1 year was a great time to get a dog too. So that added a whole lot of color to that experience.
Is that Wrigley Field then in Chicago? Is that how that goes?
Yes. Yeah. Spelled W-R. We got the dog when we moved out there, but just to clarify, although I am a Cubs supporter, I'm a Red Sox fan. Just had to get that.
This is a great segue. What is everyone's sports teams? Are you sports fans? Are we only finance nerds? That's it. Is anybody on the pickleball? It's all the rave right now.
My grandparents have a Jersey Shore beach. And so, you know, my grandparents are mid-70s and all their friends who are retired out there are mid-70s. And they really crush me in pickleball because I've never played. But I played a little bit. I don't like playing with them anymore. It's a little demoralizing.
I will say that it has been a sport for more mature audiences in the past. And now that there's this craze where youngins are coming along, some are not very tolerant of the young. When I say young, I'm like the 30-something millennials coming into their sport. They're like, get over there, get off to the side. These are the rules. Like, we're not teaching you. I've witnessed a little bit of like, we're not so into you joining our sport and not super duper welcoming, but I'm going to figure it out anyway. All right. Let's go to some questions that like I like to kind of call rapid fire, but we'll figure out how rapid they turn out to be. What is your worst money habit? Don't be scared, Jared. Everybody has one, even a certified financial planner.
Yeah. You know, it sounds a little cliche, but coffee and eating out. I love making coffee at home, but when you get to be a little picky and you get like the local coffee roaster that was $20 a pound down the street, like it's not really any cheaper than Starbucks. But I also believe that you align your spending with your values and going out to dinner with my wife or with my family, spending good quality time and eating really good food is something that's important to me and my values. So on the one hand, breaks the budget some months. On the other hand, money well spent.
Fair enough. Logan, do you have a worst money habit? I know you do. Tell us. Tell us what your worst money habit is.
Comes to mind is probably over-optimizing for certain things to my detriment. Specific example, keeping my checking account at like $100, where if I just kept it bigger, I don't have to check it every time I make a purchase. And so that extra little interest in my savings account really isn't worth the mental space I'm bringing on, and many other examples to that effect.
Mm-hmm. Over-optimizing is definitely a thing. We also have people that save too much. So sometimes we're doing student loan consultations and we see $50,000 of credit card debt and $40,000 of student loans, and they're trying to figure out how to get rid of student loans. And it's like, we kind of got a bigger problem here. But on the flip side of that, we also see people who, you know, have $100,000 in savings and are just like, I'm just keeping it in case. And it's like, in case of what? And it's like, we don't know, in case. And it's not a bad thing, but also you don't want to save to the point where you're eating beans and rice and you're not enjoying life. So there's this over-optimizing versus kind of swinging the other way. I think we spend a lot of time talking about big spenders and people who have poor spending habits, but good spending habits are a great thing to have. But also want to make sure you enjoy life. That's why we're all here, to live it, right? All right. Something you do for fun that does not cost anything. Logan, I'm going with you first.
I feel like it's the common answer and pretty lame, but probably hiking of some sort, especially in Arizona. A fun thing I did for my business pocket project, 1 year retreat. Of course, I'm a solo advisor. And so I took a 3-day backpacking trip through the Superstition Mountains in Phoenix, Arizona. Of course, you need all the equipment, but I already had that. So I count that as free, and basically spent 2 nights, 3 days by myself, kind of thinking through pros, cons, nice little notebook, no self-service or anything. And so really enjoy that kind of outdoors stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just basically echo that. I'm trying to think, like, what actually doesn't cost money? And I'm like, oh, I like traveling, but that's not cheap. So no, definitely hiking, you know, have a kayak, which costs money up front, but now I have it. So it doesn't cost each, you know, no marginal cost doing that. But we have some nice paths and mountains here in central, well, more Western Connecticut, and where I grew up in central Massachusetts, some really pretty hikes. So just to get outside and kind of clear your mind a little bit.
I like it. One more for you guys. Something interesting that you've seen from a student loan perspective over the last 30 days. So even as you've been, you know, getting into student loan planner stuff and watching other people do consultations, doing your own consultations, like any weird cases or just something like interesting that's kind of popped up for you?
Good question. Thinking through cases, I think one specifically was a dentist. And so we know a pretty classic dentist makeup, income, good income, but relative to student loans are pretty high there to pay off. And so this was a couple here, and the spouse had low debt, but no income. And so it was just really cool talking through all the different situations we could go through, community, property, state, all these different tax things we could consider for them, and really breaking down all these different ways you could pay off loans for both of them. And just kind of to the summary, getting towards, well, we can make your payments really low as a dentist. And also, even though your spouse has low debt, he also has no income. And so we could even find a way to make $0 payments and you'll never have to pay this off potentially. And so for that, they were like, whoa, I thought this was very clearly a payoff situation for him. He wasn't even in the situation. I almost didn't even send you his information. And knowing that that also can get looped in here, and, you know, a really good outcome is pretty cool.
Those are really cool cases as well, because like you said, it's like, oh, we were definitely thinking it was going to be like this. And then you end up like way over here and it's like, wait, what? Wow. And even just showing people, guys, there's so many people that are very skeptical about how forgiveness works, about loan balances going up, about, you know, just all the pieces of the puzzle. Because while there is a program, there's a set of processes related to all these student loan things that the Department of Education, it's not easy for a person to understand kind of in layman's terms, which is why we have jobs. But being able to break it down in a way that people can understand so that they can like, oh, that's how this program works. Okay, I'm on board with that. That does make a lot more sense. I can save for retirement. I will be able to start saving up to buy a house. Like, it's a really cool epiphany to watch people have. Last but not least, for real this time, guys.
All right. I was watching a kind of macroeconomic webinar the other day, and there was a whole segment about how the restart of student loan payments coming up here shortly is going to impact spending in the country. And I think it's a really valuable planning opportunity, because all of these borrowers haven't been building this student loan payment into their budget for like 3 years now, since the COVID forbearance. So if there's an opportunity to get someone onto an income-driven repayment plan, if there's an opportunity to switch them from the pay plan to save and reduce those monthly payments that they're making, that's huge on a monthly budget standpoint for those borrowers. And really just the impact that we can have on a person's financial life, if you're looking out towards retirement, and then you think, you know, 20, 30 years pre-retirement, that they have the opportunity to either have some of their loans forgiven or to just know if they need to aggressively pay them or not. And then you have this huge cost savings early in their career, and then all of the compounding growth at the end of that, how that can impact some of those macroeconomic trends. And for young people that have taken the time to educate themselves and become highly skilled and borrowed a lot of money along the way, it's just a huge impact that we can have on their financial life.
I like the way you think. You know, our little contribution will continue to make ripples, and those ripples will turn into wave, and we will be able to impact the economy as a whole. And we will be a better country because of the work that we do. That's what I took from what Jared said. I don't know what everyone else took from that. We are so excited to have each and every one of you joining the team. I hope that everybody enjoyed listening today and that you are seeing that we're bringing on top-notch, highest quality providers so that we can continue to provide great student loan advice to each and every person out there. So if you need a student loan consultation, never fear. New does not mean that not qualified. New means new awesome people joining the team. We are growing, but we are doing so with great integrity. We are committed to bringing you the best student loan consultants that are out there. So we are finding them. We're bringing them to you. Don't fear it. Payments are beginning in October. You do not have time to wait. So get on the calendar. Get ready. We are here. We're ready to help. You can go to help@studentloanplanner.com to ask any questions. If somebody that you heard today was one of the, like, that's my person, that's my guy, I want to work with Logan, you can just email help@studentloanplanner and they'll get you the direct link so that you can set up a consultation with the person of your choice. That is all for now. Tune in next week because we've got good information coming.